Welcome to Accident Rights. We are back once again for another week. John Scholes, simply the host. I have the brain power with me, though, Savannah Tamarkin here, Darren Saul as well, courtesy Sanfiru Tamarkin LLP. You want to reach out to the fellas anytime. There's the website, first of all, accidentrights.ca. Put help at in front of that, and you land magically with an email, help@accidentrights.ca. And if you prefer the good old-fashioned phone call, always there for you, 1-855-821-5900. We're going to get to, in just a few moments here, the main topic for the show, three important ways you can help your friends and family, for that matter, if they've been hurt in a car accident. This is always key information for all of us generally, so that's coming up here momentarily. But fellas, good to have you on the air here again. Good to see you and at least talk to both of you. Savannah, we always kick off with a week that was an interesting case that you came about. What do you got for us this week, brother?
Hey, John, great to be here with you and with Darren and the rest of the listeners. Let me kick this off with an interesting situation that happened to me just this past week. Darren knows about this, as well as our entire group that deals with people who are injured and who are disabled. Just after work, earlier this week, one of the days, I popped over to my local grocery store, and as I was exiting, I stopped, as I usually do, to answer emails. I can't not answer my emails, not respond to people in a timely manner, and of course I'm answering an email, and then I hear my name, somebody saying my name from the back. And it's my first name and my last name. And John, as you know, it's not easy to learn the pronunciation of my name, Sivan Tumarkin. It's just an unusual name. And so I turn around and I see the person. It's a person who is a gentleman in his, I think, early 60s. And again, he's looking at me and he's saying my name again just to make sure that it's me. And I said, yes, it's me. And at this point, I'm thinking, okay, it's either good or bad. And he says to me, he says, I want to tell you something about your firm, he says. I said, okay. And at this point, I'm really kind of thinking, okay, what is he going to say? And then he takes a deep breath and he says, look, about 6 years ago, I suffered a heart attack. I also had a stroke and I had a few other issues. And I had contacted you. And I contacted you because I was having an issue with my long-term disability insurance company. And the speed at which you responded, and the back and forth that we had, and you know, the amount of information you've given me, it just decreased my stress levels and it made me so much calmer. My whole life was completely out of whack. I was a nervous wreck with everything that was happening, with not being able to work, provide for my family, etc. And you completely took that away just by the communication and interaction that I had with you. And I wanted to tell you that, you know, I mean, he was being dramatic, I think, a bit, but for him, it was very, very important to get it out. He said, you know, you pretty much saved my life. He says, wow. And what your firm did for me was just absolutely unbelievable. And I wanted to thank you. And he says to me, I can't believe, you know, that you're here, that I'm seeing you face to face. And I said, well, yeah, actually, you know, I live nearby. And it was a kind of surreal experience. I mean, me in my flip-flops at this point and, you know, my shorts, you know, buying groceries for my family, and I have this gentleman who's relaying this to me. And John, I have to tell you, I had relayed this to our entire group. I said to them, you know, I think sometimes we don't understand how much of an impact we can have on people who are in trouble. And I think that this is something that unfortunately is missing from, I guess, the education or maybe the training of many lawyers out there, where they see this as a job. It's not a job. It's helping people. It's using the skills. It's using the experience. It's using everything we have at our disposal to make people's lives easier, to solve problems, to help them with the issues that are facing them, whether it's a wrongful dismissal from work, whether it's a car accident because they've been injured and now they're struggling and having issues with the insurance company or with their healthcare providers, etc., or a long-term disability claim, whatever it is, whatever we can help them with, you know, it's something that we can really affect change. And it was just interesting because, you know, there's a lot of people who, a lot of lawyers, unfortunately, they give lawyers a bad name, a bad rap. And the reality is there are many lawyers out there who, in my opinion, should not be practicing law. And there are many people out there who have become disillusioned with the legal process. And when they hear us here on the radio, I think, first of all, there is a bit of a kind of confounding. A lot of people don't understand why it is that we are here giving free advice, answering people's questions, where traditionally lawyers have charged hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. Well, because we do things differently. And it's not just in Alberta. We do this in Ontario. We do this in BC. We actually do this across the country. We help people get the compensation that they deserve. whether they've been let go from their job or whether they've been disabled because of a car accident or a slip and fall or any other reason, or whether they're dealing with a long-term disability claim against their insurance company, where the insurance company says, we are not going to pay you. We force them to pay the individual that is owed that money. So I wanted to relay that experience because it really touched me, but it also reinforced this thing that I've been trying to explain to our group, and I think, you know, our group does understand. I think many lawyers out there, outside our firm, don't understand, which is that we are able to help people. We should help people. We should be generous with our time. If you contact me, if you contact Darren, if you have an issue, if you've been injured, whether it's a car accident or a slip and fall or any other injury, and you are looking to understand what your legal rights are, to discover your rights, to understand what compensation you're supposed to be getting from the insurance company, we will talk to you for free. We will give you as much time as you need, ask as many questions as you need to ask, as your spouse needs to ask, as your brother or sister or whoever else is with you, and we will spend the time to make sure that you are informed of your legal rights. To us, this is more of a mission statement, and we do it, and we do it each and every day, so don't hesitate.
And with that, you always call that number, as I mentioned, either Darren or Savannah, always at your service to answer any questions, trouble-free. That's 1-855-821-5900. Okay, fellas, let's get into this, and we're talking about three important ways. There's 303, but we've got this three for this week. Three important ways you can help your friends and family if they've been hurt in a car accident. One of you guys want to take the first one. That's cool. You want to help them get some medical help they need if they can't advocate for themselves for a variety of reasons, right?
Yeah, I think, John, that's great. I'll jump in, maybe try to take this one, and then Savan can mop up anything I leave out here. You know, I like you said, there is 3,000 things that people can do to help friends and family if they're hurt in a car accident. You know, these I think are just, you know, some of the most important ones that we're identifying here. You know, you have someone who's been injured, you have someone who's vulnerable, you have someone who maybe isn't able to take care of themselves, is not able to go into work, you know, or go to appointments, or really, you know, what I've heard the most from people is I've had family members. I always like to talk to family members of my clients. Mm-hmm. You know, wives, husbands, children, you know, good friends or whatnot, because it's very important. A lot of the times, the injured person won't understand how this has really changed their life. The thing I've heard most is, you know, from friends or spouses or partners is them saying, you know, they're just not the same. You know, so-and-so used to do this, you know, Greg used to do this before, but now he doesn't. You know, Sheila used to be always really, you know, social and love to go see people. And now, you know, because she can't walk properly or because she's got this ongoing nagging pain, you know, she's depressed and whatnot. And a lot of the times the people don't understand that for themselves. They then don't get to the doctor and give the doctor that information, and they miss out on treatment. And you know, at the end of the day, that not only impacts your claim, but what we're looking at here, you know, more importantly, is it impacts your life. It impacts your life moving forward. And like Savan says, you know, I mean, he just kind of talked about is, you know, the impact this can have on your life and the impact good advocacy can have on your life. I mean, it doesn't just start and end with us. It's to the family as well. And so I think part of our job is to engage with those people as well.
Want to get to number two, Savan, see if we can answer this before we take a short break, and that is important ways you can help your friends and family if they've been hurt in a car accident. That is, help them understand that they're not alone and that there are professionals who can help them, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, the kind of professionals we're talking about are obviously people like accountants and medical professionals and other individuals who may be able to assist them get certain types of, whether it's treatments or whether it's the disability tax credit or you know, lawyers like us, right? I mean, lawyers like us, this is what we do on a daily basis, but some people don't understand that they have certain rights. And so if you are in a situation where you know of a loved one or a colleague or a friend that could use legal help, that needs information to inform themselves, to empower them, please tell them to reach out to us, or please reach out to us on their behalf. We will be more than happy to speak with them.
And with that, we'll take a short break and leave the third one for the other side. We're going to tease you for a bit. We're talking about three important ways you can help your friends and family when they're hurt in a car accident. Number three is coming up, but we'll take a short break, get right back to it, and your emails as well. And to reach out, 1-855-821-5900. That email address, help@accidentrights.ca. Real simple. We continue with more Accident Rights after a short break. Stay tuned. You bet. This is Accident Rights. So good to have you along for the hour. You want to tune in any other time, you can go to the website for more details, accidentrights.ca, or call Savan or Darren. They got a great team, both of them. Help them out all the time. 1-855-821-5900 and the email address help@accidentrights.ca. Guys, we were talking about before the break three important ways you can help your friends or family, for that matter, if they've been hurt in a car accident. This is when they're vulnerable and they could use this information. You know, number one, help them get medical help. Help them understand there's professionals to assist them. Number two. Number three, though, is don't let them become victims of the insurance industry. Call us on their behalf, specifically you guys, because you guys specialize in this, right?
Yeah, I think that's a really important one. Is and this kind of ties into the, I mean, they all tie in together, but this kind of ties into the first one, which is, you know, you have people who will get injured in a car accident, who will be involved in a car accident, get injured in a car accident. They will call the insurance company and they will say, listen, this is what occurred. And the insurance company will say, well, you don't seem that injured, or I've seen your medical records because, you know, the person sent them over, and oh, I've seen 1,000 of these. You don't seem that injured. You seem fine. Just, you know, suck it up and move forward. At the end of the day, or they'll try to blame them for what's occurred, you know, the accident, for liability, and say, well, you're not entitled to anything anyways, and so just move on with your life. And a lot of the times, you'd be surprised when people call me and say, well, this is what the insurer said, and we end up getting them, you know, tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars to say that no, that's not what happened. That's not the case here. You are injured. This is going to be a huge impact on your life. And a lot of the times, what I find is people feel overwhelmed. They feel overwhelmed when they're in an accident. They feel overwhelmed with perhaps being off work or the physical issues that they're having, or the inability to do simple things around the house, get dressed, cook, help clean, and they don't want to be a bother to anyone. And I think, you know, an important thing for friends and family to do is to let everyone, anyone who's in their life, know that that's not the case, and to actually come and give us a call on their behalf. I've had this a few times where, you know, someone's, the last time this happened was probably about 6 months ago. An individual's sister called and said, listen, they don't want to, you know, my brother was in an accident. He was hit as a pedestrian while crossing the street. He doesn't want to be a pain to us. He doesn't want to be a bother. He doesn't want to go through and be a burden to anyone, but he needs help. And so I talked with her, and then together we talked with him, and he's in bad shape. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a good chance he may not work, at least in his industry, going forward. He's only in his early 40s. You know, those are prime earning years, and now he's going to miss out on that in an industry that he's built himself up in over the last 15, 20 years. And you know, he should be compensated for that, and he will be compensated for that. And so I think, you know, really having someone advocate for you can sometimes start at home. And that can then lead to, you know, getting the assistance you need through us. And then we take on that advocacy role for you with the insurance company and moving forward. And we can assist you with, you know, talking with your doctor and making sure that you bring up everything that should be brought up.
Savan, what do you think, pal?
Yeah, I agree with absolutely everything that Darren has said. I mean, the reality is that insurance companies oftentimes take an adverse position to you, even though when you buy insurance, be it house insurance, car insurance, travel insurance, any kinds of insurance, you are basically buying peace of mind. And when you have a claim, when you have to make a claim, as many people find out, as I found out recently with my dishwasher that leaked in my house and I had to make a house insurance claim, the insurance company is taking the position of, wait a second, is this really for real? Or, you know, can we exclude this particular claim under the policy? Is there anything that we can do to not pay you? Or if we have to pay you, what is it that we can, pay you that is the least amount? And so you have to have someone in your corner that understands these little tricks, that understands what insurance companies are trying to do and how to fight back.
Yeah.
Because it comes down to empowering yourself. But unless you understand how to do that, you will not be able to take them on. And the reality is, most people, John, don't have the power to take them on, which is why I'm telling people who are listening right now. This may not be relevant specifically to you, because you yourself may not have been injured. You yourself may not need to make a claim, but maybe there's someone you know that can use this information. We have a lot of information on our website, but I think the best thing is for people to contact us. And if you know of someone, a family member, a colleague, a friend, who needs information, needs help, perhaps get their consent to reach out to us on their behalf. We can speak with you if you have their consent. We can also, you know, speak with you and, you know, the other individual. The point is, we need to get this information to the person who needs it. That's the key here. Don't let insurance companies dictate the rules here, because if they can, they will not pay. This is how they're primed. This is how the structure of the insurance company is, which is to accept premiums, take in money, and then not pay.
Want to get to our first email of the show. It's a good one, too. Man, Sheena, listen to this guy. It says, first of all, hi, everyone. I've been listening to the show for a while, and thank you so much for reading my email, if you can. I was running about 10 feet behind some friends across an intersection a couple weeks ago inside a crosswalk, and it was hit by a car turning left that, quote-unquote, didn't see me. I suffered a tear in my left shoulder, cuts, scrapes, and bruises all over my body, broken ribs on both sides, a fractured left thigh bone and shin, and extremely bad pain in the middle of my back running through to my neck. I spoke to the driver's insurance company and getting treatment coverage benefits. However, they said I was running across the intersection. I don't have a right to anything else. This doesn't seem right, as I've not been able to fill orders from my online business, and I'm losing money and ground here. Is there anything else I can do?
Thanks, John. So I'll maybe jump in here and try to take this one, take a first cut at this one. So it seems like Sheena has been in, a terrible accident, just looking at the injuries she's suffered here, fractures, broken ribs and whatnot. These are not small injuries. These are not injuries that, you know, hopefully they do heal well, but I've seen enough of these to know that, you know, in a lot of cases, when you have injuries this severe, there is some lasting impact, especially when you've got back pain, especially when you've got spinal pain running through your back and up into your neck. You don't realize how much you use your back and your neck until you've injured it. And I think, you know, the position of the insurer here, that because she was running across the intersection, she doesn't have a right to anything but treatment benefits. To talk about that real quick, if you're in an accident, treatment benefits are a no fault matter. You just need to apply, you get your Section B benefits, and you get the limited amount of treatment coverage. So Sheena's done the right thing here, which is getting, her treatment benefits here. I think liability here, she was in a crosswalk. At the end of the day, she was in a crosswalk. She was there to be seen. And the fact that the other driver didn't see her sits with them. Whether she was running or walking, she was within a crosswalk. That sits with them, in my view here. And she's suffering business losses here as well. These are all things she should be compensated for, and she will be compensated for. I think we'll get in touch with Sheena here.
We'll take a short break, guys. I'm sure Savannah might have an opinion on that particular email from Sheena, and that will move on from there. You can send one along anytime. We love hearing from you on the show here. Maybe your email will appear on a future show, right? Accident Rights. It's help@accidentrights.ca, and you can always call instead, 1-855-821-5900. We continue. More Accident Rights is on the way. Hang on. This is Accident Rights. So good to have you on the show. Thank you for your contribution, by the way, if you've managed to send an email along. If it doesn't appear over the course of the next half hour or so, it might be on a future show, but they always get answered anyway, so don't hesitate to keep sending help@accidentrights.ca and to call Sivan or Darren anytime, 1-855-821-5900. Any other questions can be left at myaccidentquestions.com. That's an easy one to use in your tablet or cell or your desktop for that matter. Okay, Sivan, we kind of got into Sheena's email a little bit, running across a crosswalk with some friends, got nailed by a car, broke practically everything in her body, brutal. Insurance company's like, yeah, you don't really apply for too much. What do you think about it?
So this is an example of an insurance company giving you completely wrong information, Sheena. I agree completely with Darren here. And by the way, on the issue of liability or fault, whose fault it is, even if Sheena was slightly at fault or partially at fault, that doesn't mean that she's not owed compensation. First of all, for Section B, because that's no fault benefits. It means that there are certain benefits you can get whether or not you're at fault. It doesn't matter. That's why they're called no fault benefits. I'll talk about that in a second. But also tort claim. She has a tort claim potentially against the driver that, quote unquote, did not see her. Now, remember that if you are a pedestrian, you're hit by a car, you're still entitled to compensation, as long as the other side, the driver, was at least partially at fault for the accident. So let's talk about this. We talked about Schedule B benefits. What are those? Those are benefits that your own auto insurer or the insurer of whoever hit you has to pay you. We're talking about things like disability benefits, up to $600 per week, or your lost earnings, or 80% of your pre-tax average weekly earnings, whichever one is lower. There's a formula here. We're talking about up to $50,000 of medical coverage for various services you may need, like physio and massage and chiro, medications, etc. So these are the kinds of benefits that if you are injured as a result of a collision, whether it's a car against car or car against pedestrian or car against cyclist, whatever situation is where there's a car involved that causes the accident, then you're entitled to Section B benefits. They're not difficult to get. But the tort claim, which is sort of usually the larger aspect of these claims, that's where you're claiming for pain and suffering. That's where you're claiming for future income losses. What if Sheena John, in this situation, because of the terrible injuries that she suffered, and she suffered terrible injuries, is going to be unable to work in the same way that she did before the accident? You know, a lot of people are able to rebound to some degree after an accident with proper treatments, with proper medical care, with proper initiative. They're able to go back, but not everyone can go back to 100% hours and duties in the job that they were able to do before the accident. I'll give you an example. I had a client once who was a sheet metal worker. So he basically worked with a lot of metal in construction, and he was in a terrible car accident, head-on collision, and he had suffered a full rotator cuff, a shoulder tear. This gentleman was in his early 50s. He went back to work, but he wasn't able to go back to work to the same duties and certainly not the same hours that he had before the accident. They gave him a different kind of job, a job that paid him about $10,000 a year less. Well, we were able to claim that, and he was in his, I think he was in his early 50s, so we had about 12 or 13 years worth of a $10,000 a year loss. Do the math. We're talking about $120,000, $130,000 minimum for his future income losses. But there were other considerations. He was up for promotion. So it wasn't just the $10,000, it was supposed to be more than that. So we had an accountant that we hired to make sure that we really encapsulate the fullness of the income loss claim. We ended up settling that particular claim for close to $300,000 for that gentleman. So my point is, Sheena has very, very severe injuries here. I have no idea from the email she sent the extent of her injuries. I can tell you that she's going to be entitled to compensation. And I can tell you that even if she's found to be partially at fault for this incident, and I'm not even sure that she would be, right? That's what the insurance company is saying. But let's assume that she is. So what? If she's entitled to, let's say, $300,000 and she's found to be 50% at fault, that's still $150,000 that she's entitled to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? I mean, you'd be out of your mind not to claim that. This is money that's owed to you. You can choose not to, sure, give the insurance company a really nice gift. But at the end of the day, you're entitled to that. So again, if you're injured as a result of a collision with a car, you are entitled to, if you're injured, Section B benefits. It depends which benefits you're entitled to. It depends on your circumstances. And you are potentially entitled to also tort benefit, not tort benefit, tort damages, meaning the pain and suffering component and future losses that you're going to be incurring potentially down the road as a result of your injuries. So again, there's no one size fits all. We're looking at Sheena's email here. We have others we're going to go through. But it's important, John, for people to understand that every case is unique. And that's why I tell people that when you speak with me, you speak with Darren, you speak with Taryn, you speak with other lawyers in my office, we can diagnose your case. We can tell you exactly what kind of compensation you can be looking at, what kind of categories. And also, if the insurance company is giving you wrong information, we'll tell you exactly what the right information is. So before you make a decision based on what the insurance company is telling you, check, verify, speak with us, and we will tell you exactly what the correct answers are.
Let's move on to Greg's email. Says, guys, I was in an accident about a year and a half ago and have been dealing with the insurance company myself. I was rear-ended by a driver not paying attention and suffered some bulging discs in my back and neck, which still caused me issues today. The insurance company sent me to a doctor of theirs and got a report saying I had degenerative disc disease and that it was present before the accident, and so I wasn't able to get compensation for these injuries. I have had to quit my career as I was a heavy mechanic and welder previously and cannot do the physical parts of my career anymore. I don't know what I can do for work now as I'm 54 and I'm worried about the future. They've offered me $20,000 to settle my claim, but it doesn't feel like this covers my losses. Am I wrong? Is there anything you can do to help me? Wow.
Darren, you want to take this one?
Oh, my God. Sure. I mean, there's so much here. I mean, first of all, the thing that sticks out to me is $20,000 for what's being described here, just it feels I don't know, it feels criminal. It just feels like this is something that is definitely worth more than $20,000, you know, given the injuries, given the fact that this man has had to, you know, Greg's had to quit his career. He's 54 simply because he has degenerative, you know, disc disease that overlaps with the injuries he got in an accident. I mean, you know, I've seen this before, and you know, this kind of highlights what the insurers will do. And this is kind of the theme of what we've been talking about is the insurer's goal here is to, it's a business at the end of the day. Their goal is to not pay out, either not pay out on claims to you or not pay out as much. And they're not always going to tell you the actual state of affairs. You know, but like Savan said, call us and we will. You know, in this case, I've settled claims where people have had degenerative disc disease on top of accident injuries. You know, we get reports, we get scans, you know, from people in the past, and we see that they had degenerative disc disease in the past, and what they said is, well, I didn't know that. I had no symptoms. I had no issues. My back was fine. Obviously, Greg here seems to have been working as a heavy mechanic and a welder before this, and whatever degenerative disc disease may or may not have shown up at that point wasn't causing him any issues. The fact of the matter is, we look at what occurred after the accident. What did the accident do? Here, the accident rendered Greg symptomatic. And I would say, Greg, you're entitled to compensation for that. The accident caused the injury and or exacerbated a condition that you had, made it symptomatic, and now made it so you can't do your career anymore. That fault lays with the accident. The fact that you have a pre-existing condition or you have a vulnerability. There's a concept called the thin skull, which is if someone does wrong, you take your victim as you find them. And in this case, the person who hit Greg because they weren't paying attention takes Greg as they find him. If he has, you know, unsymptomatic degenerative disc disease and that is activated by the accident or made worse or he causes bulging discs and him not to be able to work, they're stuck with that. And the insurance company is stuck paying compensation for that and any losses that flow from that, which could be the loss of Greg's career, the requirement to train him. So I think, you know, these are all things that Greg is right to question this. Greg is right to say this doesn't cover his losses because I don't think it even comes close to that. And yeah, we can do a lot to help you here, Greg.
Greg, appreciate that email, pal. We'll take one more short break and do a couple more for you. I got some time. At least one email is coming up, so keep sending them for future shows as well and for your own concerns on the outside of the hour to both Sivan and Darren. How do you do it? Help at accidentrights.ca and call 1-855-821-5900 anytime we're not on air and talk to the fellas and their team. We'll continue more Accident Rights in just a moment. And we're back. Accident Rights. Few minutes to go. Love doing the show. Love having you tune in. Even more so when you contribute to the show via your email. Send them along. Keep bringing them on. help@accidentrights.ca. Even if it doesn't get read and gone over with a fine-tooth comb here on the show, it will get answered. You will get a reply, of course, from Sivan's team, from Darren's team. That's what they set out to do every week. The website is simply accidentrights.ca. And the phone call anytime that we're not on the show here live and talking to each other, 1-855-821-5900. Guys, we were just talking about Greg, got banged up really nicely, and back problems, had some degenerative problems before, like we all do if you go under an x-ray. Insurance company didn't care, Sivan, like, here's 20 grand, we'll throw you a few shekels and be done with it. That's all they're covering. What do you think about that?
I'll tell you what I think about that. I think that the insurance company is trying to pay a cent on the dollar here. Mm. And I can tell you that when I used to work for insurance companies many, many years ago, I did that too on their behalf. You know, that was my job. My job was to pay as little as possible for my insurance client. And it is so crucial for people to get legal advice, to not sign on the dotted line. Because here's the thing. If Greg actually signed for this $20,000 and then had buyer's remorse, right, heard our show, called us, and we would have told him that, no, he's actually owed the $300,000-$500,000, he couldn't do anything about it. Just imagine what he would feel. And I can tell you, I've spoken in the past, in years past, to people who have come to realize what their rights are. That's why we always tell people, discover your rights when you speak with us.
That's right.
People who've discovered what their rights are only to find out that they had actually made the wrong decision all those years ago. I mean, I've spoken to people where I've done the calculations and they have lost in excess of $500,000. Just imagine that. And that's not just me doing hyperbole. I connected them with other lawyers to speak with other lawyers outside my firm, and they got the exact same advice. They got the exact same information. So the thing is this, you have to understand, insurance companies are not there to protect you. They're not. They're selling you that as a dream. They're selling you that as an idea that they are going to be there for you. They're going to sell you peace of mind. You're going to buy that. You're going to be okay. They're not interested in paying you a cent when you make a claim, no matter what happens. There was a case, John, and I know I'm deviating here, but it's important. There was a case, and people can Google this. There was a case with a kid. His name was Murphy. So if you Google my name and Murphy, and so Tumark and Murphy, and then the National Post even, you'll see there's an article on there that says, not paralyzed enough. It was a kid in his 20s that fell and got paralyzed from the waist down. And he had insurance, or his mother had insurance through work, that basically paid a certain amount of benefits in the event that a family member loses function of the legs or the arms, etc. And the insurance company that insured the family took the position that even though he was paralyzed from the waist down, as a result of him having some tingling in his toes, or some of the physio showed that there was some movement here and there, but he really had no functionality. He wasn't able to walk or anything. Paralyzed. They took the position he wasn't actually paralyzed under the wording of the policy. And by the way, we weren't talking about a lot of money there. So you can just imagine, when I saw that, I mean, I saw red. I saw red.
Totally.
I can't talk about what happened with the case because it was eventually resolved. But I can tell you that I'm very happy that I got involved in that case, and I think that family is very happy that I got involved in that case. And there's been other cases like that that our office has handled, where the insurance company has either denied the claim or tried to settle the claim with the individual or the family for cents on the dollar, only for us to get into the picture and say, hold on for a second. This person, this family is owed a lot more. What are you trying to pull, insurance company? And then they, of course, step back. And then when they come to the table to talk turkey, you know, they pull out their checkbook, the thick checkbook, and they write the proper amount on the check. And so, you know, Greg, I'm really happy you connected with us, because I can tell you $20,000 wouldn't pay for any of the category of damages that we're going to be advancing for you for your accident. And for anyone out there, again, if the insurance company is trying to buy you out and telling you they're going to pay you 5, 10, 20, 30, 50 grand, you can bet you that it's more likely than not that they are going to be making a huge killing here, that they're going to be on the upside, not you. So get the proper legal advice. Give us a call.
Lisa, we're going to get to you right now. Says, hey, guys, I'm currently on LTD. I have been on for 5 years due to two surgeries that caused damage. My question is, I'm wanting to sell my home and move closer to my mom to help her. I will clear about $500,000, and I would be putting that into another home, and she would pay the balance. Would that cause a problem with either LTD carrier? Would that disqualify me or penalize me from my claim? I guess she's thinking about other income, right?
Yeah, and for our listeners, John, just make sure they understand, she's saying LTD, it's long-term disability, so we're not talking about an accident.
We're talking
about a long-term disability claim where you are insured either through a disability policy that you've purchased privately or through your health benefits insurance through work. And the reason why Lisa's asking this, again, for any listeners who don't understand, is that when you're on LTD, the relationship between you and the disability insurance company is a contractual one. The policy, the insurance policy, is the contract. It lists your obligations, it lists the insurance company's obligations, and the benefits that each one is supposed to be deriving from the relationship. Now, these policies contain provisions that state, if you get money for this or for that, we may be or are entitled to a credit or an offset for whatever disability payments we have to pay you. So, for example, a common one is if you're let go from your job and you get severance, trust me when I tell you that most disability policies will say that if you get severance, we, the insurance company, are entitled to a credit for that. So we're not going to pay you disability payments equivalent to the amount of the severance. That's an example. Now, Lisa's asking, she's saying, well, if I'm selling my home and I get proceeds from my home, you know, does that factor in? Does the insurance company, are they entitled to this money or not? Is that an issue? No, Lisa, absolutely not. I've never seen a provision in any LTD policy that says that if you receive any amount from the sale of your home, assuming it's not income, right? This is really the litmus test here. If it's not income, no, there should be no issue with you selling your home. There should be no issue with your eligibility. You're asking if you could get disqualified for LTD. No, you can only be disqualified for LTD if you don't comply with the policy, or if you're not disabled, or if you are somehow outside of that age range. Usually it's age 65 for which the policy provides for. So beyond that, no, there should be no impact. But I'll tell you, if you encounter any issues, or the insurance company is trying to, again, tell you something that raises a red flag for you, you know, kind of tingles that spidey sense, then please give me a call, email me, and we'll work through it. I'll look at your policy. I'll look at the correspondence for free, and I will tell you what your rights are.
Guys, let's see if we get Connor in here under the wire. Says, guys, I was driving to work a couple weeks ago and struck pretty hard from behind when I stopped fairly suddenly when the car in front of me stopped suddenly to take a left turn. I had enough time to stop without hitting the car in front, but the car behind me hit quite hard and pushed me into the car in front. We can picture that. It was about 3 feet from me. The insurance adjuster said that because I stopped suddenly and was the cause of the car behind hitting me, that I was responsible for the entire accident. I hurt my neck, lower back, and my leg was slammed down on the brake. The pain has been getting worse, and the other day I had to call in sick to work as I was not able to get out of bed. I'm worried I won't be able to work. I don't think this is my fault. Is there anything you can do to help me? Darren, what do you think, pal?
So thanks, Connor, for I mean, this is a tough situation you're in, but you've done the right thing again, calling in and or sending your email in to get some help and to investigate this a bit on your own behalf. You know, I think the first thing you're looking at here is you're worried you're not going to be able to work. You're already calling in sick for work. I think it's a very real concern. You know, you need to apply for your Section B benefits. As Savan went through earlier, those are no-fault benefits. You get those, and they include wage replacement. So apply for those benefits. Apply right away. There are deadlines. There are timelines you need to be aware of. And so apply right away. So you can get those that coverage, you can start to get some treatment. When we're looking at this actual accident here, I mean, the first thing I see is not only were you pushed 3 feet by the car behind you, but, you know, stopping suddenly or not, you were able to stop, right? If the car in front of you stopped to take a left turn, and I've dealt with accidents like this before, you know, what I look at and what those other accidents, you know, the insurers looked at in those other accidents on the basis on which they settled with me was we got to the point where they finally accepted the fact that fault did not sit with the middle car. And obviously each situation is always different. I'd have to get more information from Connor here. But when we're looking at this is Connor was able to stop. He was able to stop without hitting the car in front of him. The car behind him was not able to for whatever reason, following too close, distracted, who knows. But in any event, it was that impact from the back that caused Connor to impact the car in the front. I mean, from my view, you know, again, this is a situation where the insurers, you know, they're all private insurers, and so they're all probably all different insurers for each of the three cars. Everyone's going to be looking to protect their pocketbook, and they're going to say whatever they can to protect their pocketbook and avoid paying Connor what he's owed. And so here, no, I think Connor, you've done the right thing. You know, we're going to get in touch with you. We're going to help you, and I don't think you're you know going to have any liability here. But yeah.
Connor, appreciate that, pal. Man, that hour flies by for sure. Thank you, everyone, for your emails. If you've sent one along and got on air, if not, it will be answered regardless. So keep bringing them on. help@accidentrights.ca is the address for that. You can also go to myaccidentquestions.com to do exactly that, ask your questions. And the phone call. You want a private conversation with Savannah and his team or Darren and his team? No problem. 1-855-821-5900. Again, pleasure having you for the hour. We'll catch you next time right here on Accident Rights.